the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see God's works and give glory to the Father in heaven.
Man, Ben, you're getting so tall. It's amazing. We're going to try this to see if mamas are here this morning. Chris and Brooke, are you guys here with Ty? Right outside. All right, I'm going to have Sean Alex run this back to you. Little Bible for Ty, Christopher, LeMay. And how about Molly and David? Are you here with Xander David Dutton? All right, we're going to try next week. That Bible on behalf of the elders, the nursery department, and the prayers of this church. And you're so blessed, number 7. We love you, big man. Now we'll forget your last football game. It was great. And probably one day we'll be watching a little Ty. He'll probably wear number 7 as well. We are so thankful and grateful for young people who let their light shine. And we're talking about letting your light shine this morning. And Michael Hickson lets his light shine. He's the student of the year here in our city. And Carol and Jeff, I know you're so proud of him. And everybody encourage Michael, letting his light shine. And homering Hannah Harris. Rebels, Lady Rebels, state champs. Won their championship yesterday. And we're so proud of you. I have more to say next week. First state championship in West Morgan school history. And really, I would love for Big Tim Thomas and that group to have done it. But my next choice right now, I guess, would be Homer and Hannah and this group of girls, because they have really worked hard in three sports. And we're thankful. And the Lady Chaps, right here from Lubbock Christian University. And they are so kind, as they also have with them today, Northwoods University. There is a picture of Coach Shannon Hayes, and Shannon Hayes lets his light shine all the time. He is inviting the umpire to come to Beltline to worship. What a man. What a coach. We're so proud of you, Shannon, and Tina, and all of your teams, and Cena, coach of Northwoods. It's a delight. Would you stand if you're with these universities today, parents and players and coaches? Just stand and let everybody take a glance at you. We're so proud of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You see how beautiful they are? And they're bold. And I know that they're going to do great this week. And last year, Lubbock won the national championship right here in our town, and we're proud of them. But don't ever play bombardment with them. That's what I grew up was bombardment, and now they call it dodgeball. But they will smash you with a ball. We're thankful for people who let their light shine. You know, J.P. Hayes let his light shine. His professional golfer. His caddy handed him a ball that was illegal. Now, I don't have time to go into all of the nuances of golf, but it's a marvelous game from what they tell me. As far as, I don't know how to play it, but I admire golfers because they follow the rules. And JP hit that ball and later realized it was an illegal ball. He turned himself in. He'd already taken a penalty stroke and he turned himself in. And he's not able to play the entire year this year because of that particular penalty. But he took it upon himself. And the article I read about him said he can sleep at night. Kenny Perry, member of the Church of Christ up at Franklin, Kentucky. I love reading about his life. I got to know him through the Masters this year, and he almost won the Masters. He was two strokes ahead there toward the last two holes. He would have been the oldest man ever to win the Masters. But all the guys talk about him, and here's what they say in essence. He lets his light shine. He is the gentleman of golf. And we're so thankful for people like that. You know, baseball could learn a lot from Goff. These guys who are taking illegal drugs, banned substances, performance enhancement drugs, they can learn a lot. I want to add three things as you begin thinking this morning about letting your light shine. I want to add three things to the conversation that's going on around the country. Number one, athletes. Athletes are a special group of people. And when they cheat, they have to sleep with themselves. And I want to say, when we cheat, our last night on earth will be worse than the day that we cheated. They have to live with themselves. Beloved Christian, they let their light shine. They play hard. They play fair. And I'm sure, I haven't got to know Northwoods, but I'm sure the same with Coach Cena and her team. Play hard and they play fair. They can sleep at night. You know, these baseball players could learn a lot, the ones who cheated, because God knows. There's no hiding things from God. And then the sport itself, the very game I played in, if I cheated, I've tainted that game, because that's what makes it sport. You come together on the level playing field, and let's see who's the best. And if I cheat and I were awarded something later on, every time I go to that awards banquet, that night I'd have to sleep with me. Remember that. It'll never change. There's three things that'll never change. It'll always be the same. Unless, of course, in some way I come clean. I seek repentance from those I've wronged. We're to be like lighthouses. Lighthouses are spectacular. There was a lighthouse 700 years before the birth of Christ. It was out on the Dardanelles, the Cape of Segim. 300 years before Christ, there was a lighthouse of all lighthouses, and you'll see a pencil drawing of that on screen. And there it was in the Bay of Alexandria, amazing lighthouse, the island of the Pharos. And for years and centuries, they would call all lighthouses the Pharos. And Houston took a picture of one there in Hawaii. And that's a very historic lighthouse. You know, lighthouses warn the mariners. Don't come too close to the shore. You can be shipwrecked. And we, as the church and as Christians, we should be lighthouses to warn people. Don't shipwreck your life. You see, because the world is traveling in darkness. I don't have the time nor the scientific background to completely tell you how fast your life is moving through this continuum of space and time. It would blow your mind to imagine how fast, how rapidly, even this ball upon which we live is moving, and how fast this system is moving. But rest assured, you are moving rapidly through this continuum of time and space. And the world is traveling in darkness. We look at Colossians 1 and verse 13, and the Bible says, we one time were traveling in darkness, the domain of darkness, but He's delivered us from that into the kingdom of His dear Son. But I ran across a new scripture for me. Proverbs 4 and verse 18 and 19. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19 tells us that the pathway of the righteous is like the light. It grows brighter and brighter until the full day comes. But it contrasts to the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked is like darkness. And they don't know over whom they are stumbling. I want to give you one illustration of that. Just how dark the world is. And how they're traveling through that darkness. As I look out upon this group of people assembled today, I see a magnificent group of people. And as I look at each individual person, I see a magnificent person. You have the capacity to think without limit. I give you a challenge today. Try to think all your lifetime to the greatest capacity that you're capable. You'll never find it. Without limit. You also have the capacity to love without measure, because you can love like Christ loved. You can have agape love, agapao love. Try to find a limit, a measure to that kind of love. You won't find it. But I'm talking today to magnificent people. And the world tries to answer the three questions that you have on your heart. Number one, where did I come from? Number two, why am I here? Number three, where am I going? And they can't answer those questions for you. Here's the kind of answers they try to give you from where you came from. They give you a penny answer to a billion-dollar question. As I look out, my wife was telling me when I got in last night, she said, Farrah Fawcett has cancer, I believe he said. Farrah Fawcett. And I couldn't help but go back and think about Lee Majors and their marriage, and he's the $6 million man. Well, you are the $6 billion people. I look out upon you, and the world tries to say that you who have the capacity to think without limit, to love without measure, they try to tell you that you came from something that has no capacity to love and no capacity to think. That's a one penny answer to a billion-dollar question. They're traveling in darkness rapidly because their sin, which has separated the world from God. We're of God, the Bible says, 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. He's got his clutches on the world. And they're traveling rapidly toward outer darkness. Matthew 25 and 30. I've told you before about being in a cave, and I hate caves, and I hate those cold, cramped spaces. And we were in there with the kids, and they turned the lights off. And I knew it was going to happen. That darkness, you could just cut. But can you imagine if you were running through that cave like running through a maze, and it's dark? What a frightful thought. But that's exactly what's happening to people who are outside of the light of Christ. Thank God we're in the light. We need that light. Everything associated with God is light. John 1 and 5, he said, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. But the light shineth in darkness, and they didn't comprehend it, you see, because they're in darkness. Have to come out from the darkness into the light. In John 8 and 12, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He is. Study it any way you want to. And Jesus is the light of the world. And his word is a lamp to our feet, a light into our pathway. Young people know that verse of Psalm 119, 105. And it really is. But here's a new one for me this week. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. He says that we are the sons of day and of the light. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Sons of the day, children of the light. So I want you to look, first of all, at the principle of light. It must make itself visible. Hey, you cannot read my mind. You cannot see my faith. You cannot know my ideas. What I have to do is put them into action. Express them with my life. And yet, at the same time, I have to realize, and all of us do, that we do not burn in and of ourselves. You have to turn on the electricity. You have to light the candle. And so we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But there's no glory put upon us. You don't come in and say, hey, look at how beautiful the light fixtures are. No. No glory upon us. If there's anything people marvel at, it's how dark we once were, and now how reflective we have become. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and 8 that we were darkness. But now we're in the light in the Lord. That's the focus. So now he says, walk as children of the light. Now light can be painful, and this one hurts. Probably some of these girls have had this experience. The middle of the night, roommate comes in late. You're trying to get some sleep for once in a semester. And they flip on the light. And they want to talk. And you're like, whoa, me. Light hurts. And know this. That when you let your light shine, sometimes there's people who are trying to hide some things under darkness. And they don't want the light to shine upon what they're doing. And they can treat you in a bad way. Sometimes light hurts. But light must be pure. You take something and you're washing it, you're trying to clean it up, the water can become dirty. You take fire even, and you're using it as that which purifies. Well, the fire can become polluted, but not light. It remains pure. And what the Lord says of you is you be pure as you purify. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: visit the fatherless, the orphans, the widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. But light also must sacrifice itself. The candle is consumed in giving off the light. You see, the wood, we just got back last night from doing a men's conference in Tallahassee, Florida, and we went out into the woods, out into a beautiful camp, and yesterday morning, before dawn, we had a pre-dawn devotional. They built a huge, or at least a good fire, best fire city boys could build, I think. And we enjoyed gathering around that fire. But you know what happened to the wood? It was consumed in giving us a little bit of light and warmth and driving the mosquitoes away, mainly. But it was consumed. Now, God calls upon you to be a light. He says, you are the light of the world, but you must be willing to be consumed for Him and for others. He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. There's a sacrifice to be made. Listen closely. It's you. That's right. Sacrifice yourself for others, to be a light for this world. There is a cross to bear. He said in Matthew 16, 24, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. It's amazing. And he tells us there's a price to be paid. He talked about a man who was going to build a mighty tower. He said that guy wouldn't sit down and start to build that tower without first sitting down and counting the cost. There's a great cost when you follow Christ, but the price is worth paying. I guarantee you. Look at the power. Look at the power of light. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, as Jesus had those people gathered before him in the Sermon on the Mount, you know what he's looking at? Probably looking across the way, and he saw a hill, and there was a city built on. They would build a city on the hill for protection. They would use the valleys for their agriculture. A city on a hill cannot be hid. And men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. They put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all in the house. You don't want to hide the light. Let it shine. You see? And that's what he wants us to do. The power of light to brighten, to illuminate the pathway. There's only two pathways. The youth here, the young ladies from Lubbock and Northwoods, they don't know, but this congregation knows so well that my theme is the road less traveled. I've been so thankful God has allowed me to use my youth and now wherever I am in life to talk about the road less traveled. Jesus said there's only two paths. Let me contrast them for you. It comes out of Matthew 7, 13 and 14. One path is wide. Most people are going that way, but it's a way of darkness and of death. The other path is somewhat narrow, but listen, it's the way of light and love and life. Now, why is it that most people are following the dark path? Well, I think the answer lies in this room right here. Somewhere in the middle of all this, he's got you, the light of the world. And so you are to illuminate, to light that path, so others will want to follow you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, imitate me. Come on, as I imitate Christ. You, with your life, say to others, imitate me. Let's go this way. It's the greatest view. Come on, it's the best way. It's bright. It's beautiful. Follow me. Let's go this way. It illuminates the path. And it will be that which will brighten the heart. As I look out on this group, I see those who brighten hearts. because you banished darkness. I never will forget going down to Haiti, and they had all the voodoo worship and voodoo temples, but when I got there, there was not nearly so many of them as I had read about when I was a kid. And you know why? They said, because the missionaries have been here. The light bearers have come. And we don't have as much superstitious worship anymore. We have truth. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians. And so much because you care right here and you share. And you know, you think about it. You know there's someone in heaven who cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast your care upon him. He cares for you. And there's others who are looking at your life, and they see you hurt, but you have someone you talk to. You go to the Father. You have an elder brother in the family, Jesus, and he cares for you. And you also know that though difficult circumstances happen to you, all things are going to work together for your good. Romans 8:28. And so you live that way. Even in difficult circumstances, people look to you and they say, how does she do it? And then there's that great commission where he wants us to teach all the people the gospel. But he also promises, I will be with you. Matthew 28:20. You have that. Light is that which warns people of dangers. There's a flashing light. Approach with great care. There's the lighthouse, mariner. Be careful with your ship. And there is you. And you warn people. I only selected one warning this morning. He wants you to warn people, don't fall in love with the world. I want to tell you why. Young ladies, don't give your heart to the world. Give your heart only to the Lord. He loves you. He gave himself up for you. Be married to the Lord first, and he'll show you how to love that prince that he'll bring into your life. Be married to the Lord first. Don't fall in love with the world, because they'll use you and abuse you. They'll make a shipwreck of your spirit, that marvelous spirit that you have. A warning, don't fall in love with the world. And light also heals. Doctor, when we were up in the Arctic Circle, Agnes, it was amazing to see these little kids. But nowadays, because of economic problems, they don't get to come down south and get the sunlight. And so the sweet elders here and the people of this congregation and some individual folks, they see that they have vitamins in those orphanages. So they have the kind of vitamins, the kind of nutrients and the vitamins and all they need to be healthy. You know, light heals. Yesterday morning at that pre-dawn devotional, we were out there when the sun came up, and we could just see all of nature awakening by the sunlight. And that's what you're doing here this morning, according to Hebrews 10:24. You are stimulating one another to love and good deeds. You're a stimulant like no other. And then go forth from this place. Go forth to the field. Go forth to the classroom. Go forth to the office. Go forth to the place where you work and be a light. The world needs it. Look at your purpose. You've been one to win, and no one can win like you. You have been taught in order to teach. Shannon got a call from, I think it's Los Angeles, Brother Espinoza. I see him right over here. We talked about you and Tina when you guys were out in Arizona. He said, Mike, let me let you know how Coach lets his light shine. And the other night when you gathered the team together and you had prayer with them, you're letting your light shine. The Lord says, let your light so shine before men. Here's your purpose. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Here's how you reflect God's light to the world in your time. That's our purpose. Here's how you reflect his glory for others. By your word, let it be true. By your works, let your words come true in your works. so you're true to your heart and you're true to the Lord. Let your works back up your words. You know, James said in James 2 and 14, if a man says, I have faith, but he has no works, he said, can faith save him? He says, a brother or sister comes to you and they have need of clothing or food, daily sustenance, and you don't give them anything. You just say, hey, go in peace, be warm and filled, but you don't give them clothing. You don't give them food. He said, what good is that? And so it is with faith. If someone says, I have faith, and they don't back it up by their works, let them see your good works, and let it be for the glory of God. So it all involves your will. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer, in the deepest, darkest night of his life, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Matthew 5:39, that's the prayer of surrender. I'm believing right now that someone wants to surrender their life right here in this assembly to the Lord. You want to become a light. You want to be the light of the world. He will come and live inside of you, and you will reflect his light to this world for God's glory. I want to ask you a question. How's your mirror this morning? Is it clear? Is it clean? When you look in the face of Jesus, who do you see? Well, according to Hebrews 1 and verse 3, you see the radiance of the glory of the Father. In other words, you see the Father's light. And you see the express image or an exact replica of the Father. That's what you see when you look in the face of Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, here's the question. As people look into your mirror this morning, the mirror of your life, they look in the mirror, they see your face. Who do they see? By God's grace, do they see his Son, his majesty? Maybe there's one, and you're tired of people seeing you in your own face because you've been living a selfish life, sinful life. This morning, you made up your mind. You want to repent of that sin. You want to confess your faith in Christ. And you want to surrender your life to a burial with Christ and let the Father raise you up to walk this new way of life. While we stand, Brother Scott, come and lead us this song.